97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Glad you are with us this weekend, and we can talk a little bit more about what's going on in the world of the Second Amendment. Loved having Michael Hammond on here because he is like a walking encyclopedia for some of these court cases that are really going to determine the future direction of this country. I mean, when you think about the threats to your Second Amendment rights, it just replace Second Amendment with First Amendment sometimes.
Exactly.
It becomes hard to believe what they think they can get away with. And unless you've got organizations out there spending money, going to court all the way to the Supreme Court, we would be in much worse shape today. Because
that's right.
I can't imagine what they would have gotten away with. It's really kind of scary. Now, that is on the state level, because a lot of these are state-level cases that are being appealed to the Supreme Court. The whole different level is what's going on in the White House. And, Carl, if you don't mind, can you pull back up that Joe Biden soundbite that we ran a little bit earlier? I just listen again to what the President of the United States is promising.
I've taken more executive actions to stop the flow of illegal guns than any other administration in history. And we beat the NRA when I signed the most significant gun safety law in nearly 30 years. And we're going to finish the job. We're going to ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines next time around, because it has to be done.
Yeah, I don't think so. That sounds like a bunch of malarkey to me. Let's welcome in our guest, Lee Williams, chief editor for the Second Amendment Foundation's Investigative Journalism Project. Lee, welcome to the show.
Morning, fellas. Thanks for the invite. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. I'll mention Second Amendment Foundation, SAF.org. I have Mark Walters as a guest on my show all the time, and I know he represents Second Amendment Foundation as well. You've got an article here called How Joe Biden's Office of Gun Violence Prevention is Directing the War on Guns. We just heard the president promise he's doing all that he can to conduct his own war on your Second Amendment rights.
Yeah, this is the first time in history we've ever seen a president of the United States create an office within the White House solely to circumvent and violate the Constitution. I mean, my boss, Alan Gottlieb, said it best, and don't forget that taxpayer dollars are supporting this abomination. I mean, in other words, we're paying the Biden-Harris administration to violate our civil rights. We've never seen anything like this. I can't wait to see what's next. An office of religious persecution, maybe an office of voter suppression.
That's frightening. It's a frightening thought.
It is. And when he even quote, I'll quote him saying he beat the NRA, that to me is not presidential. That's going against an organization that is trying to uphold the Constitution. Now, you know, he wants to have a war on guns. What about a war on the war weapons that they're sending to Ukraine? What about that? Let's talk about that as opposed to coming after our guns as individuals in America. This is a frightening time, especially since they are, like you said, Lee, they're taking tax dollars to run this group against Second Amendment supporters.
And we knew something was going on before Biden actually announced in September last year that he was standing this office up. I mean, after the Supreme Court passed its incredible opinion in Bruin, we saw a lot of these blue states. Bruin, of course, part of the opinion says you can carry a pistol outside of your home for self-defense. All of these blue states started having what I like to call post-Bruin tantrum laws. They were passing laws to make it difficult to defend yourself, knowing full well that they were unconstitutional, and they were all markedly similar in nature. So we knew somebody was pulling the strings. And then Biden announced this office. It's staffed by anti-gun zealots. Stephanie Feldman is one of Biden's longest serving aides. She started as an intern with him. You got Robbie Wilcox. He was an anti-gun lobbyist for Bloomberg's Everytown for Gun Safety. And you got this Greg Jackson guy who ran a small anti-gun thing. But more importantly, he's Obama's eyes and ears in that room. This guy started his political career with Obama, has incredible ties to the former president. So this thing was well orchestrated from an anti-civil rights point of view. And we don't know their budget. We don't know what they're doing. We don't know how many other people are in this group. All we know is that the next president, hopefully it's not Biden, can kill it when he comes into office.
Yeah, and which is key. That I don't want to skip over that at all. You know, Lee, this. Imagine, I think to myself sometimes, because I heard Bo say this a minute ago, that, you know, this is an attack on Second Amendment supporters. I don't even think that's the right way to phrase it. We are all protected by the Constitution. The Second Amendment is a right, just like the First Amendment and the Third Amendment and the Fourth Amendment and the 18th Amendment. I mean, we are all protected by that Constitution. If Joe Biden had an office of gun czar office, I'm not a gun czar office, but a free speech czar office targeting the war on free speech, people would lose their collective minds.
Great
and yet
point.
This
Great
is
point.
Allowed to happen.
Yeah, and that's the disgusting part. The Second Amendment for too long has been treated like a second class civil right. I mean, Biden saying he beat the NRA. The NRA is the oldest civil rights organization in the country, period. Founded in the 1850s. Regardless of what he thinks of it, it is a civil rights organization, started after the Civil War, and I'm not an NRA spokesman, and I'm not even an NRA member, but started after the Civil War as a marksmanship group because these bunch of generals realized how poor of shots their guys were, their troops were. So to say he's going after them or he won a war against them is just incredible. We've never seen a president this bad in terms of our civil rights. And again, it is a civil right.
That's Mark, that you made a really good point about the First Amendment, because I was thinking the same thing. But isn't it interesting how they know how to label this office of gun violence prevention? Who wouldn't want that? It sounds pretty, but it's so wrong. In matter of fact, I've trained myself now when I hear the president or anybody else that is talking in defense of the liberal side, I think, okay, what are they really saying? What's the opposite of what they just said? Because that's probably the truth. And just like this, Office of Gun Violence Prevention sounds wonderful for our communities, with our wide open southern border. But when it comes down to it, it's about getting rid or making guns illegal.
It is. And if you look at these historic actions that he wants to take, I mean, he wants more red flag laws, which is another word for confiscation. He wants universal background checks, which would open the door to mandatory firearm registration. He wants to ban popular semi-automatic firearms, like the ARs and the handguns in my closet. He wants to remove standard capacity magazines. He wants to keep and to continue revoking the licenses of federal gun dealers, federally licensed gun dealers. And he wants to push Congress to force laws on gun owners that would tell them how they must store their weapons, which would likely be followed by mandatory home inspections to make sure you're complying. That's what they want. Their ultimate goal is complete civilian disarmament. And don't think they don't want that.
Yeah, yeah. We're catching up on this series. My wife and I have been watching the show Fargo. Have you watched that, Bo?
No, somebody just mentioned that to me. I've seen the movie, but they said watch the series.
And Lee, I don't know if you've seen it or not, but in this most recent season, one of the characters goes into a gun store because there are some people who are trying to kill her. And she decides that she needs to buy, I think she picked out an AR and a shotgun, a couple other things. And they go to buy it, and her plan is to take it home that day. So she wants, but in the storyline, the guy looks at her and he goes, oh, no, he's got a Minnesota accent. He goes, oh, no. He said, you got to do the federal mandatory 1 week waiting period. So like in this show, they've already instituted a 1 week federal waiting period before you could physically get a hold of the gun that you want to go into the store and buy. Now, I'm assuming they're projecting. I don't think Minnesota has a law like that. He said federal, and I know that's not federal law currently. But what are some of the things that the Office of Gun Violence Prevention is pushing for that you know of?
Well, we know for sure that they're countering. They want it. It's all lawfare. They want to make us spend our time and our money fighting against their stupid, unconstitutional legislation. The biggest one they're doing is they want to limit the places where you can carry a firearm. They want to increase the number of gun-free zones. or what they call safe spaces, safe security areas. And let me tell you, we're fighting that in a lot of different states right now. New York is the worst. I mean, look at Times Square. We just had two shootings there, and one of these illegal aliens actually shot at a police officer, hit a tourist in the leg with a 40 cal, and then took a couple rounds at a cop. But you or I, the law-abiding gun owners, can't carry a firearm there. Biggest thing they're doing is making it more difficult to carry your firearm outside of your home and make it more difficult as to where you can legally carry that firearm. And we know that the bad guys don't pay any attention to those laws. That's why they're called criminals.
Yes.
So right now, you know, all of Joe Biden's laws, if you look at every single executive action he's ever taken, all the crap regulations that he's forced the ATF to come up with, there's one commonality. None of these laws or rules or regulations are designed to make it more difficult for the bad guys to get and carry guns.
That's right. That's right. You know, and you know, one idea would be if there's a gun-free zone at your library, at your theater, at your whatever. Well, then you know what? I would like how they do it in Mexico resorts in Cancun. Let's have armed guards right outside the door, and then I'll feel safe to go in there without my firearm. How about that for an idea? People don't want to see that. They don't want to see that out there in public.
There's a bill right now in front of the Georgia legislature that would hold property owners, business owners accountable and hold them liable if somebody is injured in their gun-free zone. And what I love about this bill is it doesn't distinguish between private property and public property. It would hold the federal government, state government, and local government just as liable if they disarm people for coming into their business or office.
I love
that law.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I would remind people about what happened in Joel Osteen's church down in Texas. I mean, if not for a couple of off-duty officers who were working seconds in that church, who knows what the mentally ill woman who walked in with her child and opened fire with a rifle, what damage she might have been able to inflict if not for the good guys who ran toward her and eliminated the threat. And
I tell you here in the free state of Florida where I'm at, my readers and my friends have realized for a long time, we are our own first responders.
Yes.
And our state government down here and our local government doesn't tell us what kind of tool we can use to defend our hearth and home. But, you know, that's part of the problem, too. Your rights as an American citizen are now, and your ability to defend yourself now depend upon what your zip code is. Yes. I don't have the same rights in California, New York, Massachusetts. It's sad, really.
Yeah. Lee Williams, thank you so much for joining us. And I do want to say congratulations on the partnership with Taurus as they became a platinum corporate partner earlier this month. I think that's huge for you because that just shows you, and anybody that's got a Taurus 38, 357, or you know the brand, they are backing up what they're doing at the Second Amendment Foundation. So congratulations on that, sir.
Thank you very much, sir. I really appreciated the conversation.
Yeah, we enjoyed it, Lee. Thank you for giving us some time today. And SAF.org, if you want to find out more about the organization, they do great, great investigative work there. And, of course, they also support the Second Amendment. How can you beat that, Bo?
In a big way. Awesome. Wow, a lot of gun talk. But you know what? While we've got this show still on the air, I think it's important that we do these things. I mean, we talk about the great outdoors. That's wonderful. Although it was cold this week. Warming back up, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Enjoy that warm weather over the course of the weekend. Bo and Carl and I will be back here with you next weekend on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Let me go on. Like I blister in the sun. Let me go on. Big hands, I know you're the one.
Get more at 971talk.com. Get more at 971talk.com.